We're in verse 5 of chapter 3. Last week we had, obviously this is a passage that deals with John the Baptist. So then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the regions around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to the baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." You know, here's John the Baptist. I mean, this guy is excited about Christ. He's so excited that it's not him drawing people to Christ. It's really the Lord working through him that is drawing people to Christ. And his ministry is short. It's a year and a half or so of ministry. But it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time. It says here that people were drawn to him, you know, throughout Jerusalem and all Judea and all around the Jordan went out to him. His light was not a light that was buried in a mound of sand or hidden under a bushel. It was a light that was apparent to all Judea, all Jerusalem, and all around the Jordan. It was something that was obvious. You know, today we get, and I mention this a lot, we seem to get these politicians that they want the light upon them. You know, they want to be in the spotlight. John the Baptist was not like that. He didn't construe some kind of fame in order to get people to follow him. But his purpose was only to glorify the Lord. You know, it wasn't about himself. It was about sacrifice. It was about giving up what he maybe held dear to his flesh or his heart, but he wanted to ultimately glorify the Lord. And it wasn't about knowledge either. You know, a lot of times we do this educational stuff where we go to school and we learn and we learn, and we can go to school and learn a lot about the Bible, but if it doesn't become real to us, what is knowledge? The Bible tells us that it just puffs up, you know. So we can spend endless times of going over Scripture and learning it, learning its meaning, learning what the Greek says and the Hebrew says and even the Arabic, right? But without application, it's really meaningless, you know. So John the Baptist, when he was preaching, he went out for people to hear the urgency of Christ, that Christ was coming. Were you ready? Were you ready for the Messiah to come? You know? And so he wanted everybody to know, and everybody to know because of the saving knowledge, not just knowledge, but what that knowledge would do to their lives, would affect their lives. So he wanted them to see the realness of Jesus. You know? There's so much, so many characters in the Bible, like I think of Zacchaeus, right? When we looked at Zacchaeus, when I first arrived here, right? We talked about Zacchaeus a little bit. He wanted to know, he didn't want to know everything society was saying about Jesus. He wanted to know who Jesus was for himself. That's why he climbed the tree. That's why he went to the conferences, right? That's why he dug into the Word. That's why he spent good, solid time with the Lord, right? It was for the purpose, to know the Lord. It wasn't to say, I've spent 3 hours in prayer today, and I've studied 5 hours. It wasn't to do that, but it was to know who Jesus was. And I think John the Baptist had some sort of ambition that he, not only did he want himself to know more of Jesus, but he wanted others to know about who Jesus was. And what their expectation was. Well, you know, here he comes, you know. As we get ready for CMI to come in and do a presentation of creation, right? We've been kind of prompting you. If a guy showed up without any knowledge of him coming, there would be no anticipation of what he was going to speak on. You know, why does it matter? Why does creation matter? Right? And so, you have an anticipation. Well, why does it matter? Why should it matter to the Christian? I hope that you're formulating them kind of questions with an expectation that when he comes here, that you're going to have some questions for him. That you're going to have some questions. Maybe he'll answer them in his presentation. Maybe he won't. And you'll have some questions to ask him afterwards. But we should have that expectation that we should be ready. When I went through the whole interviewing process, right? I spent some time beforehand getting ready. I wanted to understand the company. I wanted to understand what I was going to be doing. I had some questions. And so when it came to my, when they asked their questions and they came down to me, I had some questions to ask them about what they were doing, what they were attempting to do, right? There was some preparation there, some thought involved, you know. What do you want to know about Jesus? What do you want to know? Why do you come to church? Right? That should be some of our questions. Why do I come here? Because we want to know Jesus more. Right? Why do we evangelize? Because we want to let other people know who Jesus really is. Right? Why do we give food to those that are hungry? Ultimately, we want to share the love of Christ with them. Right. There's got to be purpose. There's got to be some sort of understanding of what, in a sense, we want to get out of our relationship. You know, what do you want to get out of your relationship with the Lord? Do you want to live a life victorious in Christ? Do you want to just take it halfway and not really get the full benefit of Christ? You know, a lot of times we sign up for our health plans and stuff through our companies. But we look forward not to using the hospitalization plan, right? We look forward to not using some of those plans. But with Christ, we want to use them all. We want to use everything that he has. We want to, he gives us total access to his throne through the Lord, right? We can approach him boldly, it says. We can ask him anything. Why? Because he wants you to know him through and through. He wants you to know every facet of who he is, right? To walk with him, in order to walk with him. And so John the Baptist here is excited to share this. The response that he gets from the people that hear his message is staggering. If you think about the area of Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, that's quite the extent of his ministry. That's a good sized area. Wouldn't it be awesome to know that the people have heard the message in Elmira and G. Corning wanted to hear, and you know, Big Flats wanted to hear the message, and it even stemmed down right into Pennsylvania, you know. Wouldn't that be exciting? I think John was excited. He was excited that these people wanted to actually hear the message of Christ. And it says they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. The first step to confess that we're sinners, that we need a redeemer. And it was a willingness to do something about it too for them. They heard the message, and they were willing to accept it. They were willing to say they were sinners, and they were willing to come forward and confess it. I don't think we're like that too much. The church or the world, I think people have a hard time saying, I have sinned in this area, to confess it. We're so afraid of our self-image, you know. We're so afraid that somebody might find out and it might affect the way they think of us. Yet we hold that from the Lord. I value how Jason looks at me, but the Lord, where's my commitment? Is it to Jason or is it to the Lord? Right? Do I care how much Jason thinks of me, or do I care more about what the Lord thinks of me? Am I willing to step out across that line and confess something that perhaps I'm ashamed of? It takes a lot of guts to do that, you know? Because we don't want to portray an image other than what you have of us. We hide things. We put on this superficialness. So, but it's staggering to think that people wanted to come and actually confess their sin and was willing to do so. But you know, the message of John the Baptist wasn't to repent. It wasn't to come and confess your sins. It was about who was coming. That was his message. He was preparing the way for Christ to come, the Messiah, the one that everybody's been talking about for years over years over years. Babies are named Joshua. Joshua, Joshua. Everybody's naming their baby Joshua, hoping that perhaps this is the Messiah. But here he is, coming. He's excited about it, you know. He's excited about the coming of the Messiah. And repentance is just a response to that news. Because they wanted to get ready. They wanted to get ready for what the Messiah was going to come. And gee, if the Messiah was going to use somebody, it was somebody that was going to be clean in a sense. Somebody that was ready to be used. So for me and for you, are we ready to be used? Are we willing to confess our sins to the Lord and allow Him to work some of them things out in our lives, you know, so that we can be used? You know, you don't pour. You know, we were talking, I think it was Wayne, we were talking about what he's seen guys take in the factory work and stuff and stick in their mouth, and it would be lead-based stuff, and it was like, why would you stick that in your mouth, right? We wouldn't even think about that as being a normal thing, right? But somehow we say, Lord, put your spirit in this vessel. I know it's really, really dirty, but go ahead, right? But the Lord wants us to first confess our sins, repent from our sins, and comes and fills us, cleanses us, cleans out the vessel, right, of all the junk that we have in there, that we shouldn't have in there. And so, the response to us, for us, is the Messiah is coming. Not in the same way this time, but He's coming again. Are we ready for His coming? Are we ready? If He came back today to rapture us out of here, would we be ready? Are you ready for that? Ready to see Him? Would, you know, we always think about what we might be doing at the time of the rapture. Would we be wanting Him to see that? Something to think about. But it says then, after that, you know, he would confront... He would confront the Pharisees. But before we get there, actually, one of the things that, one of the verses that strikes me here is in verse 3 of chapter 5, the Beatitudes. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs shall be the kingdom of heaven. it's that spirit that we should have of in a sense poorness, you know, feebleness, poverty of spirit, you know, the awareness that sin is in our lives, and we should ask for that forgiveness. We should confess our sins. But as he baptized here, that baptism is an immersion. It's a covering of the water, right? It's the covering. It's the full immersion. It's not just a sprinkle. So many of us, when we were infants, were sprinkled, right? You know. Unfortunately, a lot of us in the church are sprinkled. We put up with being sprinkled. We don't want to be totally immersed into the Lord. We just want to be sprinkled. We're okay with that. We just want a little bit, you know. That's why we come to church, because we just want a little bit of sprinkling. But God wants to totally immerse you. He wants to totally immerse you in Him. That's where things take place, you know, when we're totally immersed in Him. You know, but right now we want these sprinklings. We want this, just light, the light touch of God. William Barclay said, which is a commentator, he said, as was the custom in some other Jewish ceremonial washings, John completely immersed those he baptized. Naturally, therefore, the baptism was not a mere sprinkling of water, but a bath in which the whole body was bathed. And I think some of the limitations to the church today is that the whole body is not immersed in the Lord. Part of us are. Part of us have great walks. We spend time with the Lord. We talk to Him. We do diligence with our walk. But some of us, if we're honest, aren't doing that. We're not totally immersed. Some of us are sprinkled a little bit. Some of us hardly even get wet. You know? And that's the hard thing, is that how are we going to do it? How is the church going to act like the church if we're not totally immersed in the Lord? If we're not allowing Him to immerse us? Because baptism isn't something that just automatically happens. It's something that you have a choice to, right? When you're baptized, in the physical, you walk down to the river, right? Or walk down to the lake, right? It's your decision to do this. You don't have to be, but we're going to miss out. Because we are the body of Christ. And the body of Christ isn't functioning properly, it will miss out. If we're not totally immersed, we're going to miss out. We're not praying together. We're not reading together. We're not getting with the Lord individually. Because you know why? It says in Ephesians that each one of us have a different function. Right? Now we have different functions as the body of Christ. There's different reasons for us. And if one part of us isn't functioning right, we're not going to be what the Lord wants us to be. Right? So why do we have the devotions that we support? You know, so we've got the daily breads and the days of praise. It's an encouragement to you to get totally immersed in the Lord. You don't have to use those, but it's just an encouragement to get totally immersed in the Lord. What's more important? That we're totally immersed in our work? You know, for years it would be that way for me. I would go to work, and I still am that by nature in a sense. I have to be careful that I don't take it so important that I put it above what the Lord has for me to do, you know. But that it's just the means to the end, you know. It's just a means for me to be able to be in the ministry, right? So we got to be careful that we don't put those things above the Lord. And so often we can say, well, I got to get to work in a hurry. I got up a little late. I got to get to work to be on time. We're so concerned about being on time for the employer. And believe me, it is a good witness to be there on time. But it is also a good thing to allow the Lord to speak to you in the morning. One of the things that I started doing was I started to schedule time with the Lord. Specific time that was for me and Him. Wasn't for my wife, wasn't for my kids, it was for me and Him. You know, just to get together and say, you know, just read your word and pray and just have that time out. And as far as I'm concerned, that's like scheduling a time with a real person, right? So if somebody calls and said, are you available? Nope. Not available. Where is my priority? My priority is to immerse myself in the Lord. Right? That's my priority. And as Paul would say, that we should continuously pray, meaning during the day we stop and we pray through situations that we face. We converse, we continue to converse with the Lord. That full baptism of the Lord. But here in verse 7, he would say, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? They appeared to be anxious for the Messiah. They appeared that they really wanted to know who he was, but John kind of uncovered that, and he said, you know, do you really want Jesus? Do you really want him? The reason why you're here, is it because of the Messiah, or is it other reasons? And then John would say, therefore bear fruits of worthy of repentance. You know, real repentance will show itself in life. So if we repent, and so many people have said to me, and you might be one of them, I've repented of this. I've repented of this many times. Let me tell you something about repentance. We sometimes do, because we're of the flesh, we sometimes continue to go back there for a while. But it's got to be that we love Jesus more than we love that sin. Because if that's not the case, there will be no attraction to Jesus. It'll be words not met by actions. And pretty soon you'll be galloped up. And your diet won't become Jesus. Your diet will become that sin again. And it's up to us. See, Jesus does his part. He forgives. But when we, our part is the repentance. Our part is taking ourselves and getting back to Jesus. Turning away from that sin and getting back to Jesus. So what's your diet? Is your diet worthy of repentance? Do we put ourselves in a place that we're going to fall? Or do we take ourselves out of them situations? We know what makes us sin, right? We know those things that make us sin. The things that we struggle with. If you struggle with pornography, get rid of the computer, right? If you struggle with sexual perversion, get rid of the TV, maybe. Right? If you struggle with gossip, I don't know, clear out the text. Get rid of the texting or get rid of the phone. How important is Jesus to you? That's where it comes down to. How important is it to you? Are you willing to give up money for Jesus? Because so often, I know with my own self, I say, gee, if I do that, that'll cost me this in money, right? But who is your God? What's important to you? What's your priority? It gets down to, do I love Jesus more than I love that sin? it's an important decision. What's our diet? What are we here and what are we living on? Is our diet Jesus? Verse 9, he says, and do not think to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. You know, it doesn't matter if you come to a Calvary Chapel, a United Methodist, Catholic Church, whatever you want to say, don't use that as an excuse to get into heaven, because that ain't going to make you right with the Lord. It's up to you, right? You can't blame, or you can't take credit for the pastor. You can't blame the pastor for your relationship with the Lord. It's your relationship with the Lord. That's why we say your relationship. Right? We'll help you. We want to get you through it. But you got to take some credit of your own, right? They weren't going to get into heaven just because Abraham was a Jew, right? And he was the father of the Jews. Right? So he wasn't going to inherit the kingdom of God like a material inheritance. This was something that we have to do ourselves. It's up to us. It's about us in this regard. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children of Abraham for these stones. And even the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. God knows exactly what trees are living and which trees are not. Which trees are worth something and which are not. And that should be a challenge to us. That along with the love of Christ showing himself to us for salvation's sake, also comes judgment. There will be a time of judgment and the Lord will judge. That should make us think about where we're at with the Lord. Says, I indeed baptize with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy. He will baptize with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and fire. John's baptism was one of repentance. And it's not necessarily identical to what us Christians today would say baptism is, because we've even had more revealed to us, you know, the believer's identification with Jesus' death and burial and resurrection is real now. It wasn't real to him then, but his was repentance. His was getting folks ready to meet who the Messiah was. For us, baptism is victory. Right? Baptism, that physical representation of baptism, is victory in our lives. Right? Because we understand the death of Christ, and we understand his burial, and we've seen his resurrection. So for us, it's a victory over sin. Death should not have a hold on us anymore. We're living. As Christians, we're alive. We have the Spirit of God within us. We should be living. We shouldn't be having sin having a victory over us, but we should have a victory over sin. Because we have the power. We have the power to have victory over sin. Jesus has proven himself to us. He has done that for us. John recognizes that he cannot wear Jesus' sandals. That Jesus is the one that does the miracle in his life. He's the one that made him clean. He's the one that makes us clean. He's the one that gives us victory over sin. Any way else to try to have victory over sin is not really worthy of anything. It's just a temporary stay, in a sense. Jesus is permanent. He's the one that comes into our lives and he changes us and he gives us victory over sin. It's a permanent thing. It's not something that's temporary and that's fleeting tomorrow. but it's permanent. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hands, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. There will be judgment, it says. But the good thing is that he baptizes us with fire, it says. So if we're living a pure life, he purifies us more and more and more. But if we're not living a pure life, there's going to be some burning that goes on. You know? And yet some of you might be feeling it right now. You might be feeling some of the fire right now because some of the things in your life isn't pure. So the Lord is burning it away. And it hurts. And it's painful. But the Lord is making preparation, if you allow Him, to give you purity, you know, to set you right, to make this vessel a useful vessel as He burns away that stuff that is really not useful to Him any longer, or has never been, for that matter. And He baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the promised with the new covenant there, that He would give us the Holy Spirit. It says in Ezekiel 37:14, it says, "And shall put my Spirit in you, you shall live." You know, He's going to put His Spirit in us, and it's going to give us life. He was speaking to the nation of Israel, but the application is the same for us, is that He's going to put this Spirit in us, and it's going to give us life. "And I shall place you in your land, and you shall be known that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." So when you've asked the Lord to put His Spirit in you, when you've asked the Lord to clean your house, right, you're going to know that He has spoken it and that He has performed it, right? Because He said He did. So the message here of John wasn't the message of repentance. It wasn't to get down onto folks and say, "You filthy, dirty sleaze bags, you better repent." No, his message was all about the coming of the Messiah. And that he wanted them to get ready for it. You know, much the same today is that I'm not standing here saying, "You bunch of sinners need to repent." But if somebody was coming over to your house, that was pretty important. Maybe not even that important, you know. But somebody's coming to your house, you wouldn't want it to look filthy and dirty. You do a little cleanup, make it look nice, right? Well, the Lord says, "Well, how about me? I want to come over. You going to do a little cleanup?" You know, maybe this morning you're thinking about some of the things that are affecting your walk with the Lord. Some of the things that maybe you have been struggling with, you're just hanging on to by a thread. You can't quite let go of it. Are you willing to do that? How much do you love Jesus? How much do you love the sin? Are you willing to give up the sin for Jesus? It's really up to you. And are you ready for that? Are you ready? Are you ready to see the Lord work in your life? Are you ready for it? And are you immersed? Do you want to be immersed? Do you want to be the body of Christ that God wants Calvary Chapel of the Twin Tiers to be? Do you want to be immersed in His Holy Spirit? Do you want to have that relationship with Jesus that you should be having, but you're not? Let's not hide. Let's not make excuses. Let's not blame each other. Let's get it right with the Lord. Let's make that relationship happen. Because the Lord's willing. He's willing to pour out His Holy Spirit to you. that third person of the Trinity, poof, he's ready to pour it out to you. We just have to be available, ready, and willing to come forward and to immerse ourselves in Jesus. Or maybe you're just you just like the sprinkling. You know, you come Sunday, just like a little sprinkling. I don't know, sometimes, you know, I wonder, you know, I wonder when people are going to get it. When are you going to get it like John the Baptist got it? He was excited about the Lord. He was excited to see what he was going to do. Honestly, the last 6 months, the Lord has blown me away. I thought I knew him. But now I know him. You know? I was cutting him short. I wasn't allowing him to work. I was allowing Fred to do these things. There's been so many times I can look back and say how I pushed things along. How I pushed things along, even in ministry, and I didn't take my hands off him and allow the Lord to work. Right? And so, for us, we just need to be immersed. That's all he asks us to do. He says, be immersed in me, and then the Holy Spirit's going to come in and do some marvelous work in you and through you. And I'm just blown away by how the Lord's worked in the last 6 months in my life, my wife's life, and my sons and daughters' lives. And I don't think it has to be an occasion or a wow. That it's just that moment in time, and wow, the Lord worked in it. It can be every day if we immerse ourselves in Christ. If we just immerse ourselves and allow Him to do it. Allow Him to fill us with His Spirit. Allow our hands to be off it and allow Him to work it. It can be that. I had a conversation with a recruiter that got me this, well, that located this job for me and whatnot, you know, and again, the Holy Spirit just did it, you know. But in my conversation with him this week, he said, Fred, you know, have you ever had that Holy Spirit thing happen to you? Mind you, that his one of his uncles is a pastor. His brother is a born-again believer. And he's like in this fence area, and he doesn't know which side to jump on, you know. And he says to me, Fred, have you ever had that Holy Spirit experience? I said, yeah, Tom, I have. He said, really? He said, I went to this convention one time. This lady was speaking, and this, man, I felt this tingling, you know. And I said, Tom, maybe, you know, that tingling was something other than the Holy Spirit, you know. It's all experiential kind of stuff, you know, that he was talking about. He wanted an experience with the Holy Spirit. After I got done talking with him, you know, after I said too much and he was feeling uncomfortable, he said, gotta go. So, you know, I had given it some thought later in the day, and as I was thinking about our conversation, that's kind of how it is sometimes. We want this experience with the Holy Spirit. We want to see the wows, right? But I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit works every single moment of every day in my life. I can point to every single instance in my life where the Holy Spirit's working. I don't need to go to a conference to feel some high, in order to feel some prickling of the stimulation of the Spirit. The Spirit was moving. Have you ever, you know, them and they throw their hands up and they hit you in the forehead and give you a headache, and then you got to go to a healing service, and then, you know, and that and so forth. But serious, you can, the Holy Spirit works throughout. It doesn't have to be a one. It's a continuous experience in our lives. And what we miss out is that when we're searching, well, maybe if I have a touch of the Holy Spirit at this point in time, the Lord will do something drastically in my life. Man, you just need to accept the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we're born again, right, the Spirit comes into us. It does something supernatural we don't understand or can't even explain. But He changes us. And then the Holy Spirit says, I got all these gifts for you. And we leave them underneath the Christmas tree, in a sense. We're not going to open them. We don't want to open those presents. That the Holy Spirit, they're good gifts of the Spirit. They've been slighted by the world and by the church sometimes as being something kind of freaky, but they're gifts of the Spirit. We can walk in them all day long. But we choose not to. Another choice for us. But I challenge you today to get immersed in His Word, getting immersed in His Spirit. Allow the Lord to work through you. But keep your hands off the wheel. Allow Him to direct it. He'll certainly take you to better places than you would ever hope for. And when you're all said and done, you can look back and go, wow. And then continue to say, wow, as He works through you.